Let's take a moment to settle into the spot where you're sitting. Check with your body. Is this feeling comfortable enough? If there's something you can do to adjust to feel more comfortable, then please feel free to do that at any time. So when we sit in class, we want to be able to forget about the body and focus on what is said. Let yourself land here, now. Let the outside world remain outside, including the past and the future, outside. Take a few deep breaths. Exhale any tension. Bring your hands to your heart. In these kind of classes, we always start with a prayer in Sanskrit. Same one that Sky uses in his yoga classes. It comes from the Vedas, from the Upanishads. And the prayer in free translation is saying, may we have a class that is meaningful. May we have mutual understanding, good communication. May we gain something that's beneficial, that nourishes us, that helps us in life. So if you're comfortable to chant, you can chant after me.
Om Sahana Bhavatu. Om Sahana Bhavatu. Sahana Bhunaktu. Sahana Bhunaktu. Sahavīryaṁ karavāvahai, karavāvahai. Tejasvi navadhītamastu, navadhītamastu. Mavidviṣā vahai, vahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
And just listen. I'll chant the prayer to Saraswati, who is in the form of words and communication, also in the form of my teachers, to whom I send my gratitude. I would not be able to say a single word in this class, pretty much, without my teachers. I send my revered thanks to them, and a prayer also that I will keep earning the grace to have good teachers in life who help me see what is helpful, what is right, what will support me towards my goals.
Om Saraswati Namastubhyam Varade Kamarupini Vidyarambham Karishyami Siddhir Bhavatu Me Sada. Om.
Thank you. You can open your eyes. So wonderful to see so many here. I get inspired when I get to share these things that are so dear to my heart. Why are they so dear to my heart? Because it's helped me so much in life. These things that are the tools for life coming from yoga, but you can also say not belonging to the yoga, because it's tool for life. And whether we're interested in yoga or not, life is life, and the tools that work, work, right? So they can probably be found in all cultures, all philosophies, all religions, similar tools, I think. And this topic is so vast, right? There's so many helpful tools. So I wasn't sure what to bring up in this class, and this is where I always have this prayer to Saraswati, who is a word that we use for that which is in the form of knowledge and communication, that may I be guided. What is needed for those who are in this class today? I ask Saraswati, sit on my tongue and guide my words. And then I have trust. I place trust. So I don't know what's going to come. We'll see. And I know at the end of the class, I'm going to feel like, oh, there's so much more I want to share. I always feel like that. And if you want more of this, by the way, I took some flyers. This is from last year because I haven't made new for a Sama Yoga teacher training that I have together with Sky. A big part of this teacher training is to learn tools for life and to be to find ways to be harmonious and happy in our life, because that's what we want, right? And here's the manual also if you want to look at that. And I always say with yoga, what does it matter if I can be strong and flexible and do advanced asanas if I hate myself inside at the same time? If I'm not feeling love inside, I don't care about what my body can do or not do if I hate myself inside. What I want is to feel love, is to feel happy. I want to feel whole and complete, right? Is anyone also feeling like that is more important than anything else? Raise a hand. Yeah. So why are we not happy all the time then? Why are we not feeling at home with who we are? See, we're born with this ignorance, self-ignorance. We call it Atma Ajnanam in Sanskrit. This ignorance that causes us to believe that we are limited, and that in order to become in quotation marks, unlimited, in order to gain what we're searching for in life, we have to go outside and get that, reach goals. And we think that it'll come in many and varied ways. As many people as there are on this globe, I think, as many different ideas we have of how we're gonna find what we are searching for. In traditional Advaita Vedanta, which is the tradition that I study, the message is, you are that which you seek to be. Okay, all right. And then, you know, then okay, I'm that which I seek to be. Then you may want to do this. When we were teenagers, we used to do this kind of a disrespectful thing, but like put your finger under your eye and pull it down, and you're like, does it look like I care? You know? Because why do I care about that if I don't feel like that? If it's just fluffy words, right? It doesn't matter to me somebody says that if it's not true for me. And this is the difference between a teacher who maybe knows this and is home in themselves, but cannot give it to others, and a teacher who has what we call pramanam, who can also teach it to others. And that is the teacher that I'm interested in, someone who can help me see that the source of what I seek in life is my own being. Then I can stop looking outside. Then I can stop trying to manipulate the world to be in a certain way so that I can be happy. See, we're all involved in that. I am too, even though I have this knowledge since many years. It's not clear and fully assimilated, not at all. I get involved in trying to make the world around me be in a certain way, including my family and my husband, no names mentioned, and other people around me. Oh, it could be like this, or if they only did that, or if this came true, or if we only had a little more of that, or if I only was a little less that, or right? It's like trying to balance round marbles on a curvy surface. You may just get it to balance as a pyramid or something. Okay, everything in my life is just how it needs to be so that I can be happy. And then falls apart. Ah! And then samsara continues. Becoming disease, we call that. Become, become, become. It's like in the Indian music, there can be all sorts of melodies, but then in the background there's always this, is it the veena or some tampura. Instrument? Huh?
Tampura.
Tampura. It's the tampura that goes all the time, or however it sounds, but it's a steady beat. And that's the tampura in our life, is this wanting. I want, I want, I want, I want. What I want keeps changing. That's the melody. La, 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 la. I want a new job. I want to quit my job. I want to right? So due to self-ignorance, due to not knowing the fact that you are the source of what you seek, we have this wheel of samsara, looking for what we seek outside. And I think one of the first tools that I want to bring up today, which is, I think, one of the most powerful ones for finding harmony and being able to enjoy life for what life is to shift our attitude from trying to make life fulfill us, getting our, what we call, raga dveshas fulfilled, our binding likes and dislikes, trying to get exactly what we want all the time in order to be happy, and instead changing our attitude to see what can I do to neutralize that hook that binds me to say I need that. So let me go over this again. See, we have what I call a hook. Our likes and dislikes have a hook that says, I need that new job in order to be happy. The hook is in order to be happy. If I can say, I would like that new job, wonderful. I would love to have it. I'm going to do everything I can to get that new job. Great. And the Vedas champion that. It's pleasure positive. Go towards all the goals you have in life, as long as you're not breaking dharma values, as long as you're not hurting someone else or yourself. So inquiring into value is another fantastic tool that is very important for our ability to feel joy in life, actually. I'm going to say that again because it's very important. Inquiring into our values, universal values, may I do to others as I want them to do to me, and may I not do to others what I don't want them to do to me, and see what does that mean on a actually detailed level in my life. This is called dharma, one of the meanings of dharma. Inquiring into that, and then always letting the values have the final say, is a very important tool in order to feel happy and joy in life. And this is another tool that I think is so important, is to stick to our values. I mean, this is actually one of the most crucial tools. Even if we're not interested in spirituality, we don't have moksha, what we call freedom, as a goal, we just want to live and feel good in life, this is crucial for that. And why is that? Because when I know that something is right, like I know it's the right thing to do to tell the truth, but still I lie, then I create conflict inside of myself. The yoga talks about this extensively. 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and more, all dedicated to values, because it's crucial I want to feel harmony in my life, I gotta stay with my values. And here is the trick, is I may have preferences, like I would like that new job, or I would like to sell my house for a lot of money, right? I can go after those preferences and try to fulfill them, but if anywhere along the road towards that goal, I need to break a value that is valuable to me, if I need to break a value, then I will lose. Then I create conflict inside, a knower doer split. I know what is right, but I do something different. Then that conflict in my mind, in my heart, will keep me from being able to enjoy what I reached. Tools, yoga tools for life. See, we could go into more detailed tools of what, like Ayurveda, you know, what to do in the evening in order to sleep well and stuff. But I think these kind of tools are more important, to be honest. These kind of tools that create that deep sense of gratitude, actually. Deep sense of satisfaction. No matter what the time, space, or situation is in my life. The Vedas say that. It's so fantastic. And it is true that it's possible to be happy, not like in a blissful way, but just to have that sense of all is well with me at all times, at all places, in all situations. Oof, that's a pretty strong statement. This is where we have to inquire and see, can it be true? Can it be true? I feel it's a little hot. Is it okay to open the doors for you guys to sit in the back? There, yeah. Let's open if somebody gets cold, then you can just close it. So I wanted to say I will speak for about 45 minutes. Then we take a little leg stretcher, because it's difficult to focus on these topics for a long time. It's very common to get sleepy because it's subtle. And we take a leg stretcher, and I'll guide you through some of my favorite Qigong for about 15 minutes, and then we'll take half an hour question and answers after that. So we were talking about raga dvesha, binding likes and dislikes, and seeing that nothing wrong, the yoga says, it's nothing wrong to have many, many goals in life. Even goals like, I want to be super rich, nothing wrong. But if I sacrifice my values, I will lose. Right? So hands-on example to that is, like I said, I want to sell my house for a lot of money. Okay, I have a realtor and I do what I can to make the house look good. I put it up on the market. And then I know this thing that underneath the floor, that is mold. But it's very difficult to lift the floor. And I don't think that anyone will do that when they come and assess the house. So I don't say anything about that, because if I don't, I know I can get 200,000 more. And then a lot of people come, and then there's this family with two small kids, and they finally have a money enough to buy the house, and it's just enough money, and they're so happy, and we sign the contract, and I don't say anything about the mold because I'm so happy to get 200,000 more. Then I can buy the apartment that I want to buy in the city, and then they move in, I get my apartment, and I enjoy the money, sure, but I also have that conflict inside. I lied. What about those little kids? Mold can be so bad for health. Now they're going to grow up with mold in their lungs. What about when they find out? If they find out, they won't have enough money, probably, to be able to fix it. They have to move again, pull the kids up from their happy situation that they've created. It comes plaguing me, right? I cannot enjoy that money completely. So we lose when we break our values. Therefore, put dharma first. Follow your goals in life. But if you have to do something that breaks your values, then always let that be the deciding factor and say, no, then I'm not going to do it. And that takes strength, inner strength. And in order to be able to do that, we need to also see what we gain and lose, like we've done, but also see the end goal. The end goal is not actually about the money. If the money doesn't make me happy, then I'm not interested in the money. Who's interested in money if it makes you miserable? The end goal is I want to be happy, I want to feel whole and complete. So inquire in to what is your main goal. In my tradition, we would say the main goal is moksha. Moksha means freedom from psychological suffering. Moksha means to be able to say, all is well with me at all times, places, and situations. And what that is and what that means, that's a topic for a Vedanta class. Maybe we have a Vedanta class sometime where you can always ask me, because this is my passion in life, because it
Can you repeat that? Because
there was other topics. Yeah, sure. What did I just say? Can somebody repeat what I just said?
That would be a topic for a
For a Vedanta class. Moksha. Yeah, it's a topic for Vedanta class. Is that what you didn't hear? Yeah. I'll keep talking. I'm not sure exactly what I just said, because it just comes. But I'm actually recording also, so you can have the recording if you want. If I'm happy with the class, I'll put it up on our website if I have time to do that. Mm. With the kids around. See, having kids is one of the best ways to grow, and one of the times when we need yoga as a lifestyle and the tools of yoga the most. Kids know how to push our buttons, right? And this is no new. Even mothers and fathers usually know how to push our buttons. And I think one of the ways to check how, if I want to call it, accomplished we are as a yogi, yogini, is to go home to your mom. Yeah, really. And see, how long can I be there and feel cool, calm, and collected? Another tool that the yoga gives us is receive whatever comes to us in life as prasad. Prasad means as a gift that comes from the temple. After we do a puja, a ceremony at the altar, we offer maybe food and chocolate and water and flowers, and then we get some of that back, chocolate and flowers, and we call it prasad, it's been blessed. Now, can I expand that attitude that I have in the temple and let my altar be my whole life? And then whatever comes to me, including my mother pushing my buttons when I'm on holiday in her house, can I receive that gracefully, without spitting back? Very difficult. This is what's called karma yoga, another one of the most important tools. See, we had raga dvesha, we have karma yoga. Raga dvesha, binding likes and dislikes. I need it to be this way to be happy, raga. Or dvesha, I need it to not be this way to be happy. I need this person to quit the job that I'm also in. I need to not be colleague with this person, otherwise I cannot be happy. I cannot stay at this job unless this person leaves, for example. Or I cannot be neighbors with that person, because then I cannot be happy. This is dvesha, neutralizing that idea that our happiness has anything to do with anyone else, and instead bringing it home. See, the yoga is about bringing the power back to yourself and see, no matter what other people do or don't do, I have the capacity to be satisfied and whole and complete. We can take questions a little later if that's okay. Yeah. So this is the neutralizing that hook to be happy, and then instead say, I have a preference for this to be like that. I have a preference for this person not to be at the job. In fact, my teacher Radha, she was telling her teacher, Swami Dayananda, who I also studied with for a while, that I don't think I can stay at my job because this person is really making my life miserable, one of her colleagues. And then she was talking with Swamiji about that and getting his guidance. And he suggested, yeah, sure, why not quit as soon as this person is no longer a trigger for you? Why not quit? You can quit as soon as you can be with this person without feeling like they are making you miserable. Because no person has the capacity to make us miserable. We fall into that misery due to lack of self-knowledge, due to lack of maturity. And she did. She followed that, even though he didn't say you must stay or anything. See, a very important quality for a teacher, and this is something I think is so important to remember, a teacher, a good teacher, is one who has no agenda for you to be different than who you are. A teacher doesn't have any manipulation. It doesn't say you have to do that, otherwise you cannot be my student any longer or whatever. No, no, no. Nothing of that. A good teacher may not even give advice at all, but can share the wisdom that they have, and then if we pull it out of them, possibly say, you can do this. This is what I think will bless you, but you need not. You know your life best, and you do what you feel is best. Here's what I think is a good thing to do. And then we can do, or we need not do, we can do differently, it's up to us. But it's always a red alert when a teacher has the message, you need to change in order to be good enough. See, the message of Vedanta, which is the same message as Samayoga gives, is you are perfect the way you are right here, right now. Ah, that's the message we want to give as a yoga teacher to our students on the mat, is you are perfect the way you are. Right here, right now, including everything you feel is a limitation, a shortcoming, you are perfect. Ah. And then out of that sense of wholeness, we can choose to become a little more strong, a little more flexible. It would feel nice to not have an achy back when I carry the kids or whatever it may be. That's my preference. And I can work towards that. But if it doesn't happen, when it's no longer a raga dvesha, it's been converted to a preference, then if it doesn't happen, it's also okay. So that was a long... I had started to say something. Let's see if I can find my way back. Right, karma yoga we were talking about. So karma yoga is actually a way to neutralize our binding likes and dislikes, and much more than that. So the attitude that we want to practice, that the yoga gives us, is the attitude of graceful receiving what comes in life, the things that we cannot change. And then intelligent responding. Sounds familiar? Maybe you heard the Serenity Prayer. I think it's worldwide prayer. May I be able to accept gracefully the things that I cannot change and respond intelligently. Have the power to change the things that I can change, that I may need to change, that's positive for me to change. And may I be able to know the difference between what I can change and what I cannot change. Because otherwise we waste our willpower. We waste it trying to change things we cannot change. So let's see, what are some things we cannot change? Mom, right? I cannot change another person. I cannot change another person. We need to assimilate that. I can't say that I fully assimilated it, not at all, but I'm working on it. I cannot change another person. The weather cannot change. What else? What can we not change? Look into your life.
History,
big one. Things that have already happened. Even if it was just a split second ago when I dropped my whole plate of newly baked cake that I was going to have for a fantastic party, and I just dropped it and it smashed on the floor. I cannot change it. It's happened. It's in the past. How do I receive it? Well, actually, a wise way of receiving it, which is also part of the yoga, is when the emotions come, let them come out in a healthy way. Because if we just think that, oh, I'm gonna walk the path of equanimity, when emotions come, I'll just push them down and I don't express them. I'm just gonna have samatvam all the time, I'm just gonna have equanimity all the time. But that's not the case. I just dropped this cake that I worked on for 3 days and I'm furious, I feel so disappointed. If I just pretend like I don't, it's not gonna help me. So the yoga teaches us, and we put a lot of emphasis on that in the Sama Yoga, is to find healthy ways of letting the emotions come out. And a healthy way at that point may be to scream out loud, "Ah, I'm so disappointed, I dropped the cake!" Ah, right? But not to scream at someone and blame someone else, and not to scream at ourselves and blame ourselves. But to see, I did the best I could. We all do the best we can. That's another important thing to remember. I do the best I can in each moment. And this is what came. And now I'm disappointed. And I let it come out. And then it's out. Because if I don't let my emotions come out in healthy ways, then they will come out in unhealthy ways. And then it'll build up, build up, build up until it's a volcano inside. And then maybe a day or a week or a month or a year later, it just explodes. Big volcano eruption. And then when we speak out of emotion, we end up saying and doing things that we regret later. Because we're talking out of an emotion, and emotions go like this. They change often, like a roller coaster. And if I don't let it come out in healthy ways, like maybe screaming without blame right at that moment, if I don't let it come out, it may explode later, and it may also implode, which means I get sick. I take on more and more and more emotions and I don't let them come out, and then start getting ache, or I get problems with whatever inside. So Karma Yoga, which is a fantastic tool to inquire into in life, is glad acceptance. We practice that gladness, and when it's not glad acceptance, then we practice letting it come out in healthy ways. Acceptance of what is, facts we cannot change. And the other part of Karma Yoga, what we saw there, is called Prasada Buddhi. You can say Prasada Buddhi. The other part is Ishvara Arpana Buddhi. You can say Ishvara,
Ishvara.
Arpana,
Arpana.
Buddhi.
Buddhi.
Or another way to say it, slightly different, is Samatvam and Kaushalam. Same things pretty much in Karma Yoga, which is talked about also in Bhagavad Gita chapter 3, I think it is. And Kaushalam is then responding intelligently. So intelligent response is to see, what can I do in life? Okay, I've dropped the cake. I've let the emotions come out in a way that's not harming anyone else or myself. See, that's dharma. Dharma is ahimsa. Ahimsa means non-injury. And we're usually very good at that towards others. I speak nicely towards others, but then my language inside of myself, I say things that I would never say to a dear friend. And that's another thing that's a yoga tool, and that we also pay a lot of attention to in the Sama Yoga teacher training, is to develop inner friendliness. Inner friendliness. So that no matter how other people treat me, I can be my own best friend. I can be my own best friend, philosopher, and guide. Be kind to myself and see, I dropped the cake. Instead of saying I should have not dropped it. Here's another tool. Remove that word should from your vocabulary. The word should is harmful, it's himsa. Should have, could have, would have. No, I did the best I could. This is what happened. Now I learned something from it. And instead of saying should have, I say next time I will take more care. And I will have a prayer to Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth. May I be very present when I walk with the cake. May I be more mindful. May I not drop things that I don't want to drop next time. So to think like that is an intelligent response. That is an intelligent response, right? Towards things we cannot change. Another thing that I think is maybe more of a specific tool, I'm going to talk for another 5 minutes, then we take a leg stretcher, so stay with me. A specific tool that also comes with the yoga is something that's called Pratipaksha Bhavana in Sanskrit. You can say Pratipaksha Bhavana. Oh, isn't that a nice word to say in here? Bhavana. Bhavana is like an attitude or a sentiment, maybe a way of being. And this special tool, Pratipaksha Bhavana, of taking the opposite stance, you could say, is something we can use when our mind is plagued by things on the negative spectrum of emotion. What's on the negative spectrum of our emotions? Anger? Jealousy? What else? Things we don't want to feel. Fear, hatred. Criticism, judgment, stress, worry, greed, wonderful. And to many of these, maybe even all, there is tools how to handle these negative spectrums of emotion. And there are many, many tools, and I'm sure you know many, many tools. And here is one that is also in the yoga, Pratipaksha Bhavana. So let's say I have jealousy towards another person. Oh, it's very hard to feel jealousy. See, it's actually somebody that I really like, but I can't stand that person because she has something that I really want. And by the way, why do I really want that? Because I think it's going to make me happy, right? And then I think if only I had what she had, then I would be happy. And then with the help of yoga and Vedanta, we see through that and see, even with having that doesn't mean that I would be happy. And that's also another thing I would like to share. Some really wonderful stories that helps us see through that illusion that happiness lies in having that or being that or doing that, whatever it may be. If you ask me later, I can share with you some stories that help us see that it cannot be about something outside. It's actually extremely illogical. So, but now I have jealousy and I just, it's irking me. I feel like that. I just can't stand seeing that person and see how happy she is. And it's because she has that and I was going to have that, but then it didn't work out for me because I dropped that stupid cake or whatever, right? Now I don't have that praise or whatever it is that she has, and she's so beautiful, and she can walk so gracefully, and she speaks so intelligently, and look how everyone loves her, and that guy that I'm actually interested in, see how he's talking with her, and jealousy is a difficult emotion to have. So we can either let that kind of wreak havoc inside of ourselves, or we inquire, what are tools we can use? Many different tools. In Pratipaksha Bhavana, a tool that we use is to do the opposite. So instead of talking bad about her or to her, I praise her. It takes a lot to be able to do that when there's real jealousy inside. So maybe I walk up to her, probably have to breathe deeply a few times first. I walk up to her and I say, just wanted to say that you're so beautiful and I really admire the way you speak. You say so many wise things and I see how everyone loves you. I just wanted to compliment those qualities inside of you. And then, go. And then, after you've done that, notice what happens emotionally inside of you. Only you can try the tools of the yoga and notice what happens. Instead of the cure for jealousy is praise. And a few things happens here. One thing is that we this hook that the jealous feelings have on our heart somehow dissipates. I don't know if that's the right word, but it becomes less of a hook. You have to try and see, is that true or not? The other thing that the yoga also says is that those qualities that you admire in her, you wouldn't be able to admire those if they weren't already you in some ways. So what happens when you praise those qualities is they become yours. They grow inside of you. And it's called yat bhavam tat bhavati. As you admire, as you praise, so you become. And then you will see that grow inside of you. So not only is the jealousy neutralized, you also become that which you seek to be in the form of those qualities. Beautiful.
Can we just say that you talk from love instead of fear?
Oh, you speak from love instead of fear. Yeah,
like
wonderful. Yes, exactly.
Switch
that inner attitude or the state that you speak from. And important to say is we may not be able to switch that and speak from love in the beginning, but then we can actually fake it until we make it. So we can go up and say those things. And it's not a lie because we have a positive intention. And in fact, it is true that we admire those qualities and we love those qualities. But it's also hard inside of ourselves. So then I may not feel completely like it, but I fake it until I make it. So first time I try to praise her, it's difficult. Second time it's a little easier. And then after many times, it becomes naturally who we are. We praise and praise and praise. And same with the last thing I'll say now before we take a break. At least my intention is to be the last thing to say. Is, for example, if I feel lack of some sort, that other people don't give me enough compliments, or other people don't love me enough, or other people don't massage my shoulders enough, or I need something, I have neediness from the outside. And isn't it weird that the more needy we are, the less people in our surrounding feel like giving that to us? Somebody who's needy of compliments, we just don't feel like complimenting that person. It's weird. And maybe it is because we need to learn, or it's most helpful for us to learn to bring the power back to ourselves and not need others to be in a certain way. So with Pratipaksha Bhavana, I give that which I feel that I want other people to give to me. So if I long for compliments, or I long for people to give me gifts or whatever it may be, then I start giving to others. I start telling people how wonderful they are. I start giving gifts. I start massaging people's shoulders. Ask first, is it okay? Would you like it? And then before we know it, those things will also come back to ourselves. But even if it doesn't, we will be ready for it not to, because it's so beautiful that it fulfills that need when we give it. This we have to practice, or to try also to see. I long for love, then I practice giving love. And I think the mind doesn't know the difference between giving and receiving in that way. So when I give love, I benefit from that love that I give in the same way as if somebody else gives me love and more. Pratipaksha bhavan, I do the opposite of what I maybe feel like, and it helps me. Pratipaksha Bhavana.
The
tool of what?
When you give what you long
for. Well, this is one of the ways of using Pratipaksha Bhavana.
Okay.
I don't know if that specific one has a name, probably. I don't know what that would be. So let's do like this. We do a finishing prayer. We're kind of a little more than halfway through the class, and then we stand up, and then we have satsang after that. Bring your hands to the heart. Another tool that the yoga gives, that instead of the right hand and the left hand fighting with each other, that we get stuck in offense, defense posture, where we blame outside or blame ourselves. Instead, we practice bringing the right and left hand together at the heart. And what that's a symbol for also is practice resolving opposites, resolving them in love, and see that I am you, you are me, we're in this world having a little, like Swamiji says, two-year-old tea party, where the things that come, they come, and may we just be present with what is, resolve all differences into love, the love that you are, the love that you seek to be is actually who you are, it's the source. You're the source of what you seek to be. And may we all know that without vagueness, doubt, or error in a way that is true for us, so that we reap the benefits of that knowledge, so that we can live with an open heart and enjoy life. And also enjoy death when that comes. So chant after me. Om Purnamadah.
Om Purnamadah.
Purnamidam,
Purnamidam,
Purnat,
Purnat,
Purnamudachyate,
Purnamudachyate,
Purnasya,
Purnasya,
Purnamadaya,
Purnamadaya,
Purnameva,
Purnameva
Vashishyate,
Vashishyate.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi.
Harihi Om,
Harihi Om.
Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha,
Shri Guru Bhyo Namaha.
Harihi Om,
Harihi Om.